So to really understand what the scrolls are saying to us today, I think we have to ask the question, who recorded the scrolls in the first place? Where did the Dead Sea Scrolls come from? Scholars are pretty much in agreement that the scrolls originally were penned by a mysterious sect called the Ancient Essenes. And if listeners are not familiar with the word the Essenes, E-S-S-E-N-E-S, they are a mysterious sect that we're beginning to learn more about today. We first hear about the Essenes arriving about 500 years before the time of Jesus on the shores of the Dead Sea in an area known as Qumran. In the Qumran area, the Essenes separated themselves from the societies and the communities around them so that they could live and honor the traditions of a teaching that was already ancient in their time. In this teaching, they would rise early in the morning and don white garments and engage in prayer until sunrise. And at sunrise, they would work in the fields. And for the Essenes, according to the historians, the Essenes did not see the work in the fields as a job that they had to do. Rather, they saw it as an opportunity, as a blessing, to give thanks and to interact with the forces of nature to provide for themselves and to provide food and nourishment for their families. It was an honor. At noontime, the Essenes would leave the fields. They would bathe in cold water, don white garments, and they would dine and pray with their families. They would go back into the fields again and work until sunset, at which time they would bathe in cold water again, don white garments, engage in prayer, and spend time with their families. We know about the Essenes primarily through the Roman historians, such as Josephus. And one of the things that we know is that the Essenes abhorred the eating of any flesh. They were vegetarians in the strictest sense, and many people believe that they were a celibate community, although we know they were not 100% celibate because they had families. So there were some that chose celibacy and they lived that lifestyle, and others that did not and chose to engage in family life and support their families. Well, the mystery of the Essenes and precisely who they were and where they came from, no one knows precisely where they came from. There are a lot of theories and we really don't know for certain. What we know is that they were in the Qumran area about 500 years, not long after the crucifixion of Jesus. They were persecuted tremendously. We know this as well because we see archaeological remnants of their dwellings, their villages, still on the shores of Qumran today, and we see evidence and records of the persecution and of the flight. Now, this is where the story of the Essenes becomes really, really interesting. Because when they were persecuted, they fled the area. And when they fled, they carried records of their documents with them. Everywhere they went, they took records of what today we see as the Dead Sea Scrolls. And they carried them with them, and others they hid in the caves above the shores of the Dead Sea, thinking that someday they would come back to those libraries again. Obviously, they never did. Well, when they fled the area, the records show that they fled into the mountains of Egypt. And we find records of the Essenes going into the Sinai Peninsula and those areas today. We know that they fled into the highlands of Central Asia and what today we call the area of Tibet. What is lesser known is the plight of the Essenes into the Americas. We know that today we find active Essene monasteries in South America between the borders of Bolivia and Peru. And there are records of the Essenes journeying down along the coasts and the borders. And recently, in the 20th century, evidence of the Essenes has actually been found in North America among the Native American tribes in the desert southwest, and the Navajo and the Hopi. And they speak about their brothers from the east that journeyed to them over 2,000 years ago and spoke to them of the elements of fire and air and water and earth, what the Essenes called the angels of the fire, the angels of the air, the angels of the water, and the angels of the earth. And this is so interesting. It's so interesting to me because so much of the history of North America is the story of Christianity coming to the native traditions to introduce a teaching in this land that is based upon the teachings of the ancient Essenes. And the irony may be that the native populations had already been introduced to precisely the same teachings almost 2,000 years earlier in a form that was so pure it was not recognized by the Spanish and by the Christians when they came into this world, they may have been speaking apples and apples and not even known it. So the irony and the possibilities are certainly worth considering. When we look at the events of history from the perspective of seeing patterns that may have direct application in our lives today, the plight of the Essenes may actually represent a way of perceiving that has even greater application in our lives today. Look at what happened with the Essenes. They found themselves isolated from the world around them intentionally so that they could live the truth of wisdom and the teaching that had been with them and it was already ancient in their time, 500 years before the birth of Christ. After the crucifixion, they were persecuted and they fled their home and they carried their wisdom with them everywhere they went and integrated that wisdom into other spiritual traditions in the tribes throughout the world. As we just mentioned, we find evidence of the Essenes in the mountains of Egypt, Bolivia, Peru, all through the American desert southwest, in China, in Tibet. The interesting thing about this is although the Essenes carried the information into these places much earlier, later other organizations came. The Spanish, for example, came to North America carrying their understandings of religion and Christianity, and the reality was that they were actually introducing it into a culture that was based on the original teachings of the Christian traditions and where they began. What does this mean in our lives today? What can we learn from the path of the Essenes and the way their information was dispersed and disseminated and assimilated by other organizations? Well, I'll invite you to look into your life. Look at the way that you perceive others. The interesting thing of our lives today is that although we all interpret our world so very differently, we essentially learn of our world through the common threads and the common denominators of our education system, our books, our references. So, such as many traditions assimilated the information of the Essenes and implemented it uniquely in their lives, the people around us assimilate the information of science, history, religion, and culture, the same information, and implement it uniquely in their lives. This is an opportunity for us. It represents an opportunity that perhaps by looking at the similarities between the people around us that we find most different, rather than focusing on the differences that we believe separate us from one another, we may in fact learn a tremendous lesson from the Essenes even today, 2,500 years after their plight. And if this is true, in that way, the Essenes are still the great teachers in the history and the present time of humankind.